I am J.A. Lovelock, a barrister and an author. Joining me on Behind the Yellow Tape is crime fiction writer Harriet Steele. Harriet's been described as a modern-day Agatha Christie, of which we will learn why in a moment. But it was a trip to Sri Lanka in 2016 that, unbeknownst to Harriet, that trip was to change her writing life forever, or at least for some time to come. Good morning, Harriet. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Welcome to the programme. And we will get into your books in a moment. But first, for the few people who do not yet know who you are, tell us a little about yourself and your background.
Oh, right. I'm formerly a lawyer. That's how I started out in life. And I went to Cambridge University, where I studied law. And after I qualified, I worked for some time as a solicitor, probably what you'd call a lawyer in America, and quite enjoyed doing that. Although I don't think I was really a natural lawyer, but I did enjoy the meeting people and, you know, the interesting cases and things. And then I married and I had children and I did various other legal related jobs. Although I ceased to practice as a solicitor, I did quite a lot of voluntary work with organisations in the UK. And I think it was about, I mean, I'd always been very fond of writing as a child. Something I'd always enjoyed, and I'd always enjoyed reading. But it wasn't something that I ever considered as a serious option. But in 2004, I'd written quite a lot of short stories just for my own pleasure and occasionally had them published in magazines or in anthologies. But in 2004, the BBC over here ran a competition called End of Story, and their idea was that they were going to base a programme on it. And the basis of the competition was that they chose six well-known writers, and the people who were entering the competition would have to finish the stories. The well-known writers would write half a story, and the entrants would finish off the story, hence the title End of Story. So I entered this, and I think there was something like 17 or 18,000 entrants, so I didn't really expect to hear anything more. So I was very surprised when I got a telephone call to say I was one of the finalists, and they would like me to go up to one of the BBC studios. And so off I went, and it was very interesting. You know, the panelists were, there was a well-known agent, a chap called Giles Corin, who is quite a well-known comedian and journalist.
It's quite well-known now, isn't he?
He was a young man then. Mm. Yes, he was. He's quite a young man, but he's been very successful, I think, and a couple of other people. And anyway, I was chosen as one of the three finalists out of the six of us who went up in each category, and ended up on the programme, which was enormous fun. Mm-hmm. And we were taken to a Dartington Literary Festival where we did an event down there. And the writer I chose was Joanne Harris. I chose her short story to complete. And she very kindly invited us to her home, which is up in the Yorkshire Moors, beautiful place. And we all had a lovely day with her, you know, having tea and chatting to her. And I remember somebody said to her, "What advice would you give to aspiring writers?" And she just said, "Well, I'd just say drop the word aspiring and just write." Mm. And that made me think, well, yes, if you're going to give it a try, you know, you just get on and try. And I started by writing historical novels, which did reasonably well. But there's a lot of competition in that field. I think there's a lot of competition in the detective story field as well. But I've eventually decided that I would try detective stories because it's something I've always enjoyed reading. And I happened to have spent some time in Sri Lanka, which used to be Ceylon, the British colony of Ceylon, and decided it was just a lovely place to set the stories.
Before we get into that, Harriet, so you wrote a number of historical novels and successful novels, and then you decided to turn to crime as a lawyer.
Yes. I don't know how. I think it's my legal training has helped, of course, inevitably it would help a little bit. But the stories are very much in the style of the sort of golden age mysteries. You know, there's no because they're set in the 1930s, there's no opportunity for modern forensics.
So tell us about your visit to Sri Lanka in 2016.
Oh, it was marvellous. We travelled a lot. We started in Colombo. We went to Kandy and went to see some of the archaeological find remains in the rest of the country. And then we went up to the hill country, which is the area that particularly struck me because it's so beautiful. I think it's probably the area of Sri Lanka which has the most echoes of the colonial past. A lot of the buildings date from that time. And I think a lot of people still, you know, perhaps have parents who lived through those times or grandparents who lived through those times. And, you still get some of the traditions. I mean, you could be sitting on the lawn of a bungalow surrounded by exotic tropical vegetation and you'd be served a cream tea. It's quite extraordinary. You know, lovely, some lovely contrasts. So
yes.
I think I found it so charming. I thought it would be a very nice place to set the books.
So how long were you in Sri Lanka for?
Oh, I mean, just a few weeks. I could have stayed much longer and I would love to go back. It's something I very much hope I will be able to do eventually. So, of course, I also, when I came home, I had to do a lot of research around the country and reading, you know, everything I could find. I mean, people like Leonard Woolf spent a lot of time there and wrote very well about it. There's a lot of people have written about it. So I did have to supplement my personal experience with reading as well and research.
So it clearly had such an impact on you that you came up with the idea that you could set your stories there.
Yes.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I have been to Sri Lanka. When I was there in 2019. But it didn't occur to me to start a story there. So, so I'm glad you did that. Tell us a bit more then about your novels.
The detective, the detective stories, yes. Well, I don't particularly like the noir genre myself, so they're not in that sort of vein. There's not a lot of graphic violence or sex, or there's not a lot of violence. Well, there isn't any violence against children or animals. They're very much in the vintage style, where the person who gets murdered almost always is not a very nice person. I don't think anybody cries too many tears over them. And then my detective, Shanti De Silva, who's married to an English woman, which I thought would give a little bit of would make it a bit more interesting. You know, there's the tension between the two cultures sort of actually comes into his own home. And he has to solve the mysteries with not very many techniques available to him apart from his brain and, you know, the research he can do. So they're much more in the spirit of a Miss Marple or a Poirot than a modern detective story.
We'll come on to that more. We'll say more about that in a moment.
Sure. Okay.
But you're writing about the 1930s and 40s, and clearly you hadn't lived through that period. So how do you conjure up that period?
Again, research, I think, reading and research. I mean, it's an interesting point, isn't it? There's so many writers of historical novels, and all you can do is do as much research as you can and try and imagine yourself back into a period. I mean, in my days when I was writing historical novels, I wrote, one was set in Victorian times, one in Elizabethan times, and one in 19th century France, and I had to very much rely on reading. And I think that's, you know, it's the same for all writers, really. I know Philippa Gregory, who's probably familiar to you, a very well-known writer about the medieval period, particularly, and also about the Tudor period. I mean, she says, you know, you just steep yourself in as much research as you possibly can until you start to feel that, not that you live in that period, of course you can't, but, you know, you feel you've got some kind of idea of what it would have been like to read in that period. And that means going to all sorts of books to try and understand everything about how people would have lived, you know, what would have been available to them, the sort of books they would have read, and how far they could have travelled, what the attitudes of their time were. So I think you just have to piece together everything you can and then hope you can recreate the period.
And how long would that research take?
Oh, in the case of the historical novels, it took, I would say, for each book a good year. Not quite so long for the De Silva, Inspector De Silva novels, because, of course, having researched the first one, you have a basis for, and although they are chronological, so there's a certain amount of research needed as time goes by. But fundamentally, you know, it is the basis for it is there. So not quite so much research work to be done there.
And when did you publish the first crime novel?
The first one was 2016, about 6 months after I came back.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was so excited by the trip that I couldn't wait to put pen to paper or finger to keyboard anyway when I got back. You know, I was so sort of in love with the place and so excited by it that I was really keen to get going quickly. And then having found that the first one seemed very popular, I decided to write another. And on it went, really.
And how many have you written? How many are in the series?
I've just published the 12th.
Mm.
12th in the series. So, yes, I'm quite proud of myself, really.
I was going to say, that is good going and good doing. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So what is the appeal about your novel? Who would your readers be?
I think they're probably older group, possibly around about my age, you know, 60s. 70s, maybe a few younger, people who like detective stories as puzzles. You know, they enjoy something which they can apply their brain to and work it out, almost as you'd work out a crossword clue, as you work out a cryptic crossword clue. I think they don't like a lot of violence. They don't particularly want troubled characters. I think they like my characters because Inspector De Silva is a happily married man. He's not got any terrible problems in his life, although he does have to contend with his British bosses, which of course can sometimes be a problem for him, but nothing too serious. And that, yes, as some of my readers have said, you know, I do portray the time, and the stories are portrayed a little through rosy tinted spectacles. But then I think that's part of what people like. They want a bit of an escape from all the trials and troubles of our world, which are fairly considerable these days. And I think they just enjoy them as a complete switch off, as some people enjoy, you know, some of the television programmes like Downton Abbey and those kind of programmes. They're a antidote to real life, I think. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people like to read.
So would they not be based on real crimes then?
They don't tend to be. Yes, sometimes I'll read about something that gives me an idea, but they're not based directly on real crimes. No.
And what would you normally use for inspiration?
Well, I think things I overhear. I mean, things I see in the paper would spark off an idea. Conversations I hear, you know, conversations I have with other people, or things I overhear, films, even other books, all kinds of things really, drawn from all kinds of places. Sometimes just, you know, purely out of my head, but I think one could say that, but there's probably always something which has sparked off an idea even if you've forgotten that you heard it. I think there's always something that sparks an idea off.
Now, everything happens in the fictional town of Nuala. Is there a special meaning to that name?
No, not really. It's the town I had in mind was called Norelia, which you might know if you've been to Sri Lanka. But it's spelt Nuara Elia. It's quite a difficult thing for people to pronounce, I think, if they're not Sri Lankan. I wanted to give people something which was easier to pronounce, you know, something short and which is clear to pronounce. And that's why I chose Nuala. So it is a made-up name. And although I've recently discovered it's actually can be used as a first name. I didn't know that. Somebody wrote to me and said her name actually was Nuala. So she said she was rather charmed that the town in the story is the same name as hers. But I think it's just to make it easy for people and, you know, not a long, complicated name that they have to struggle to pronounce. And also, I prefer to have a fictional setting, even though it's based quite strongly, in fact, because it means you have more flexibility. You know, you're not limited by where a street actually was or where a house actually was. You can play around with it as you like, which makes life very much easier.
So your main character is an inspector, Inspector De Silva. Are your books about police procedure and or other things?
A little bit about procedure. But again, as I say, because of the time that's gone by, they're more like an Agatha Christie way of approaching the mystery than a modern book would do, because he has, I think fingerprinting was in use by then, but not very many modern techniques. So, and you know, modern databases of crime and things, of course, weren't available to him. So he has to get to his solution very much more by, you know, observing people and little details and things he has to piece together. So it's very much more as a Poirot mystery would be, or a Miss Marple mystery, or one of the Dorothy Sayers or something. You know, there isn't a great deal of, they're not really police procedurals. I don't make a great deal out of that in them. They are, you know, they are very much vintage style.
So when you're about to start a new novel, do you create a plan so you have the beginning, the middle and the end?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, definitely. I think that's quite important, especially with detective novels, because you could really run into the sand if you don't have some sort of plan to keep to. I don't always keep to it, of course. I mean, sometimes I get halfway through and I think, oh, there's a better way of doing this. And, you know, I will change my mind. But I think it's a good idea to have a plan, have something plotted out. And then you can have a look at it and see whether you think it's going to work. And it means that we can all still fall down plot holes, and I do quite frequently, but I think there's less danger of that if you've got a plan, because hopefully you've ironed all of that out before you start to write. So I actually take quite a long time over my plan and do it in quite a lot of detail. So yes, I do, definitely.
And do you always know how the book is going to end?
Yes. Yeah.
And what the characters will do? Do you know what the characters will do?
Yes, usually, yes. I think it's the middle that can change. I find the beginning of a book quite easy, because, you know, you've decided on the plot and you know how you want to set up the characters and how you want to set up the murder and everything. I usually find that's quite easy to write. It's what comes in the middle that's not so easy. It's getting yourself from the beginning to the denouement in a way that makes sense and but at the same time is interesting for people to read, because I think there is a danger in, well, any book really, that they slump in the middle. And I'm sure you've read books where you felt there's been a slump in the middle, and you know, the beginning is good, the end is good, but the middle is a bit no.
And that's one of the bane of being a writer too, isn't it? You start off quite well and you've got an ending, but the middle sags.
Yes, the middle sags. Yes, yes. And I think that's where the difficult part comes in, you know, trying to keep the momentum going and give it some vitality.
So as well as Inspector De Silva, are there any other important characters in the novels? Thanks for listening. I am J.A. Lovelock. Join us next time to hear how Harriet introduces minor characters who are no less important and who assist Inspector De Silva in his crime solving. In the meantime, catch up with more episodes at btytpodcast.com and on all podcast platforms.
I'm an American vigilante. I have a question for you. What would you do if someone you cared about was abducted, taken from you? Would you call me? Would you care about how I got them back? Download American Vigilante now.